Welcome to Wednesday Night Worship at First Baptist. Tonight's speaker is our Minister of Students, John Beach.
Our natural desires are to fulfill our sinful nature. And here's the thing. Things that bring us, usually when we talk about the flesh, when we look at Scripture, we think physical because Paul threw the word flesh out there and boom, we just think physical, right? But here's what Paul's saying. It's not just the things that we do, but it's also emotional. It's also the things we think about. I want you to think for a minute. Aren't there things that you do that, physically it might not do you great, very well, but when you do something and you just think in your head, it's like, wow, that was awesome. I enjoyed that. And so Paul's saying, listen, our sinful nature seeks these things out. That's just our natural bent. Verse 17 tells us that they're in conflict. So let's keep reading. For the desires of the flesh are against the spirit, and the desires of the spirit are against the flesh, for these are opposed to each other to keep you from doing the things you want to do. In other words, Paul's saying, listen, here's the problem. We want to do the right things, don't you? I mean, I would assume since you're here, since you're in church, since you call yourself a Christian, you really want to do the right thing, right? I mean, we get up hopefully in the morning, we pray about that. God, help me do the right thing. Help me go and do good things to good people and all these sorts of things. And the struggle is our sinful nature kind of keeps drawing us back to us. And so Paul's saying when we do that, we struggle to do the things we ought to do, the things we want to do, the things that identify us as looking more like those who follow the way. In verse 18, he says this, but if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. So as he combines all these three passages together in this final ending here, what he's saying is basically this. A better literal translation would be, you are not in subjection to the system that results from perverting the Torah and the legalism. Now, I know we don't read the Torah, but have you ever been there? Where you begin to just take the Bible and you kind of, technically speaking, you move around Scripture. Ever been there? Well, technically, this is not a sin, or technically, I'm only supposed to do this or only supposed to do that. And that's where the religious folks were. They were beginning to say, listen, when we use the law, we've got just boundaries, and we don't want to go outside those, and we don't want to, cut any of that short. But we also, they began to use it in their favor. That's why they were upset Jesus came to mess this system up. They were doing real well, especially a lot of the religious folks. They were doing real well. And he came in and he was talking this whole different thing, this whole different system that wasn't the law. And so they were very frustrated. Point number two, our sinful nature is as obvious and distasteful as the worst sins we can categorize. As obvious and distasteful. So verse 19. Here's the interesting thing about this. Listen for it. Paul creates this sin sandwich as he begins to list these things. At the very beginning, there's this really gross, disgusting thoughts as far as sin. And then he kind of gets into this stuff that you're kind of like, okay. And then at the back end, it really gets kind of rough again. And so what Paul is beginning to do is subtly kind of let us know, guess what? We're in that group as well. So let's read it. Now, the works of the flesh are evident: sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissension, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these. I warn you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. As I read through that list, were you going, ooh, that's horrible, and then did you find yourself somewhere in the middle? I'm curious. Because as we walk through and we begin to think about sin, the struggle for us often is this. We begin to see everybody else's sin as unpleasant and distasteful, and we kind of shade ours. We don't typically see that in the right light. And so we began to kind of say, well, at least I'm not as bad as so-and-so, or at least my sin isn't as bad as so-and-so. And so Paul, like I said, does this thing where he takes these really ugly things on the bookends and then right in the middle, He's got these things. I mean, think about it. Idolatry, we go, I don't have a statue in my backyard. I don't go out there and pray. But what are those things we worship on a regular basis that aren't God? We're in there. Sorcery, hopefully none of us are into that. Enmity, that's your pit against somebody. Strife, jealousy, any of these ring a bell? Any of these things happening in your life, or is it just me? Fits of anger, rivalries, dissension, divisions, envy. How many times have you looked at someone else's life and thought, man, why can't I have that? Why isn't that me? Why is this happening to me? Guess what? We've entered into what Paul's talking about. And so he says this really strong thing at the back end of that and says, none of these people who are still in this sin are going to enter into the kingdom of God. And apparently this was a problem because he reminds them again. He reminds them again. How often is that us also where we begin to struggle with what's going on in our lives and we get better and then we kind of find ourselves back. And we get better and we find ourselves back. We do a Celebrate Recovery. I'll talk about this every time I come up here because it blesses me and it blesses a lot of people that we are a church that will do that program, that ministry. And what we begin to learn in Celebrate Recovery is it's a process. Just like our Christian walk, we don't just boom automatically, we are just perfect, we are holy, we're all those sorts of things. That big word is sanctification. We are becoming more like Christ, we are becoming more like what God created us to be. And so in recovery ministry, we learned that, listen, people have to constantly be called back to where they're supposed to be. Now, if we're not in recovery ministry, we kind of look at that and go, well, But the reality is that's us too. Listen, we're all recovering. We're recovering from a thing called sin. And we all have our particular flavor that we like. And so Paul's reminding us, listen, I've told you again and again and again that you can't consistently be in this and inherit the kingdom of God. Let's keep going. Number three, Paul talks about the actions of the true believer as being the fruit of the Spirit. So here's where he is. He said, listen, if you're living in this junk right over here that I just described, you're not going to enter the kingdom of heaven because guess what? The Holy Spirit is not hanging out with you. That's not what a Holy Spirit life looks like. And now he's getting ready to tell us what a Holy Spirit life looks like. You know it by the, help me, the fruit of the Spirit. Yeah, here we go. Let's read it. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have been crucified the flesh with its passions and desires, or have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. So Paul gives this list. Here's what it ought to look like. Here's the things you shouldn't do. I had to tell you again. This is not what a Spirit-filled life looks like, one that's led by the Spirit. Over here's what it looks like. And it's filled with all these things. And the interesting thing is when you talk about the fruit of the Spirit, most people want to put an S on it, fruits of the Spirit. Most people treat this like we're at a buffet. Well, I don't like oranges, so I'll take the apples, right? In fact, some may say, well, listen, you know, most of the fruit I got, but this self-control thing, I'm working on it. Or it's just not me, it's not in my nature, it's not in my character. And we look at the fruit of the Spirit almost like spiritual gifts. They're different. Paul's saying, listen, the fruit of having the Spirit in you is going to look like these things. It's not things that you can just go, well, mercy wasn't my gift, so I'll just keep walking and, right? That's not what he's saying. Now, some of them will become very much evident in you when your spiritual giftedness accentuates or accompanies the fruit. Does that make sense? As you have the fruit, some of your giftedness is going to be really powerful, some of that spiritual giftedness. But it's not one of those things we get to walk around and go, well, I got like five of these, and isn't that pretty good? Paul's saying, no. Listen, the fruit of the Spirit ought to be evident in you. Now, I don't know about you. I struggle with them all the time. That's why we have to live in the Spirit. And again, Paul begins to talk about that in that next verse I read. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. So, your next bullet point, Number four, got through all of them. When we belong to Jesus, our sinful nature is crucified, allowing the Spirit to guide our new nature. So Paul says, listen, when you really got it, it's not about the law. It's not about all the checklists, the to-dos, all those things I've done. I've showed up this many times. I've given this much money. I'm doing this. It's not about that. Paul says it's about walking in the Spirit. And when we do that, it becomes evident because we have crucified our flesh. In other words, the natural nature, our physical and our mental, and we've combined that in our spiritual to say, listen, I've got to have the Holy Spirit with me. Verse 25, and this is where we'll end up here. If we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit. Here's the thing I see in me a lot, and I see it in Christians a lot. We kind of surrender to God, and then we look at the Holy Spirit as kind of this spiritual safety net. The Holy Spirit is that thing that's supposed to keep me from doing things. It's that thing that's going to adjust me. That's not what happens. The Holy Spirit is there. We can ignore the Holy Spirit all we want. We can just kind of shove him aside. It's like that good friend that's standing over your shoulder going, hey, I don't think I'd do that. That's not cool. I wouldn't do that. And we can walk away from that friend. The Holy Spirit indwells us, but we have to be open to hearing it. We have to be willing to accept what the Holy Spirit says to us. It's this interesting thing God's done with us. He's allowed us to make our own choices, and he can really let us mess our lives up if we want to. That's his permissive will. He'll allow it. But the question is, will we cultivate in us? It's almost like back in the day, I'm going to talk to the young folks here. Back in the day, you only had AM radio. No FM, no CDs, no MP3s, none of that. And so at night when you would travel, you could almost hear Mexican radio stations, believe it or not. They'd come in on this nice, clear, airy day. And so you're constantly, no button, you're kind of, well, some of them had buttons, but you're rolling that dial and you're getting this really odd, weird sounds. And so you're trying to fine-tune it and turn it in. And you'd find that one radio station you want. Now, eventually, they make cooler radios where you could get this gross fine-tuning and then this really fine fine-tuning, right? So you get it right in there. And so Paul's giving us this picture. As we walk in the Spirit, we got to fine-tune that sensitivity for the Holy Spirit. He's not going to bully us. He's not. But he's there for us. We have to be in tune with him. We have to be open to him. What's that look like to walk in the Spirit? That means we're in prayer regularly. That means we're seeking him. That means we're watching for him in Scripture. We're looking for him all around us all the time. I'm frightened sometimes by the way I miss the way God's moving in my life because I'm so busy with other stuff. I'm not looking for him. I'm not thinking about him. And Paul says when we have the fruit of the Spirit, we're in tune. We begin to cultivate that. We begin to develop that. And our goal is to fine-tune it where we begin to hear the Holy Spirit work in us on a regular basis so that all these things, peace, patience, joy, all those sorts of things become part of who we are. That's God's desire in us. Let's pray. We don't have our piano tonight, but we're just going to take a few moments of silent prayer, and then I'll close this out in prayer. So if you need to make a decision tonight, maybe there's just a reconnecting with God and the Holy Spirit. God, I'm just not looking for the Holy Spirit enough. Please help me to find that time, that space, and just be aware. Pray that God will do that in your life. Maybe there's just a decision you have to make. I'm going to keep riding on Sunday. Maybe there's just some relationships you need to kind of cultivate and fix and patch up. Pray about that. If you need to talk to me or David Tooley's back there, or there anybody here, by the way, can lead somebody to Christ. Did y'all know that? You've had that ability. You've been given that opportunity. In fact, that's what God wants for us, is to lead somebody to the gospel. But if you need to talk to somebody, you need to pray to somebody, or with somebody, as we close out our time, please come forward. Let's pray.